Hey guys, we're back for season 5 of Orange is the New Black. I cannot wait to discuss it with these guys right here, coming right up on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Trap, 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 till the cage is full. The cage is full, the day is new. And everyone's waiting, waiting on you, and you've got time.
Nice. Always the winner.
Okay, I'll stop right now because I can go on forever.
Sorry, I was trying to open it. Okay, good news. I have the live chat open, finally. It took me a while.
You were multitasking there. Yeah. But before we get to everything, let's start off by introducing ourselves. I'm Scott Moore. You can find me on the Twitter at SMan80. That's SMan80. And to my left...
Hey guys, I'm Sterling Cates. So happy to be back for the next season. And I'm here on the live chat. So hop on if you're here with us. I'm here looking at your comments.
Yes, live chat away.
You got it up. Hey y'all, I'm April Wissenhant. You can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant. So excited to be back. Already a crazy first 2 episodes.
Yes. Holy smokes. My God, it's so crazy. And yeah, I'm excited that you have the live chat pulled up.
Yeah.
Because I'd love to be able to hear everyone's questions and kind of keep us in line,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, we've already got some people in here. Shout out to Unicorn Con, yeah. Math. Oh, wow. I can't. You guys are like, okay, Math, creative. Ashley D., TV Addict 25. What's up, guys?
Remember, we only watch 2 episodes at a time.
Just 2 episodes. So we only know what's happened in the first 2. Yes. And don't give away any spoilers, please.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. But did that break feel really short to you guys? I feel like we just ended, but maybe it's just because the world's crazy right now.
I think the world's crazy right now and it went really fast.
But
it got long to me because I couldn't remember anything else that happened other than Poussey.
Yeah.
Well, and then do you have it where you go back and you're now watching the first episode again and it's horrible to say because there's a lot of characters like, oh, I forget that person's name. Right. And I'm like, who is that? And I'm like writing down notes and I'm thinking, oh, wait, that's so-and-so and I have to go back and figure out who it is. So that happens to me after that break. It was just long enough.
For this season in particular, I feel like as soon as we jumped right back in with Daya holding the gun, I was like, oh, okay, I'm in it. I'm right where we left off.
I'm so happy that that's how they did it. Starting off like right there.
Right.
That it wasn't like a jump where we eventually figure it out because I don't think I could have handled
any I totally agree with that. I thought it was really great move to, and that's how, I think we even discussed this at the end of last season, is that they left it at the point that we had expected they were going to start and pick up right where they left off.
Right,
yeah.
Have they done that in any previous seasons? Because I'm trying to even think if they've ever employed that tactic before.
I feel like
maybe the chat room can
remind us,
or they can research for us.
Particularly with the first episode, I kind of liked that they didn't have any of the background stories or whatever, and it was all dedicated to just the current chaos that's going on in the prison. But at the same time, I kind of missed those background stories because that kind of chops it up a little more. And obviously, in episode 2, we get Frida's, so that kind of got me back in the
swing of things.
No, but I thought it was a really interesting first episode because, like you said, they picked up right where they left off. It was all in the here and now. Mm-hmm, there was no flashbacks. There was no focus on anything going on from the past, and it's a different kind of direction for the show because we haven't seen a situation like this before. What were your overall thoughts? You know, as it comes back of season 1 for the first 2 episodes, really. Yeah.
Okay, can I be honest for just a second?
I'm going to let you go first.
I'm really hoping that it gets a little bit better after these 2 episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a diehard fan of this show, so please don't roast me in the comments right now.
Right.
But I feel like I just am so... Because I want to be rooting for them, for obviously the prisoners, because they've endured so much in the jail. But then I'm also like, how is this going to end? Because right now, it doesn't seem like this whole riot and this whole takeover can end well.
Yeah.
There's like no... For me, I don't see, like, a good way out of this. So, I don't know. I'm a little, like, I'm ready for the next episodes, for sure. I just, like, it started a little slow for me, to be honest, despite the chaos. Because it's, like, a lot of the chaos. Mm-hmm. And looking back on the first 2 episodes, it's hard to differentiate the 2 episodes because it was just a lot of, like, chaos.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
I feel exactly the same way. I actually thought the first episode was, like... long. I found myself being like, oh, okay, what? Because it was just so much of... I mean, obviously, they're trying to show us what each of our, like, favorite characters are doing during this whole thing because they're not all together. But I was just like, okay. And so I enjoyed the second episode, like, kind of getting back to more of what Orange is the New Black is a little more than the first. But I get why they did that. And I was surprised that I found myself being like, okay, this feels a little long, but I'm sure it's going to get way better.
Well, and somebody had asked me the other day, you know, what do you think of the season so far? I said the same kind of thing that we're saying here, is that we've only seen the first two episodes. Mm-hmm. But that I was sort of reserving judgment. And again, as a diehard fan who's actually done this panel since season one, episode one, from the very beginning, it was the same thing. It's like, well, I like it. It's a little bit different, the riot, but it's hard to know what direction it's going to go in. And as somebody that's only seen the first two episodes, I guess the exciting part to me is, like, I have no idea where they're going to now take the show this season.
Per usual with the show, really.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But this in particular, I was kind of like, okay. Like, how is it going to start to pan out as we move along? Because, you know, there was a lot of build up with last season, and it was, you know, there was just that great payoff towards the end. And, of course, you know, the character losing a vital character.
Right.
So you start to wonder, like, what direction are they going this season, and how long are they going to carry this riot over? Mm-hmm. And like you said, Sterling, like, I don't know how that's going to end in a positive way for them. And how is that going to all shake out? So it's like, okay.
How could it end in a positive way?
We've got Dinora, and there was one other person that say the episodes get better. The season definitely gets better, TV Act 25. Not that it's not good already.
Well, it's just kind of, knowing where it's going to go, because the first two episodes were very set on the whole riot, and now where's it going to go as we move into episode three. But to start with episode one, the riot FOMO, again, which we talked about, I love that it picked up right where it left off. I thought that was a brilliant move. I love when shows do that. Because then there's no gap in time. You know exactly where you are. It brings you right back.
Totally.
To that moment, because it was such a powerful last two episodes, really, of last season. Mm-hmm. So to pick up where we left off, and, you know, I go back and forth with the Piper Alex thing.
We've talked about that a lot last season.
I think they, like, played it out. I don't think they're going to really go there and focus on it anymore.
But it started, like, it was starting to come back again in episode one. And I'm like, really?
I enjoyed seeing all the different pairings of everyone that kind of went off and did their own thing. They were all on their own mission for whatever it was. And, I mean, honestly, in the first episode, I didn't even really notice Piper and Alex compared to the other storylines.
Right, because again, the other ones are, and we've talked about this too, is like just the strength of the other characters and the acting and everything is so brilliant that you don't need Piper as that main character anymore.
Right.
And that was the brilliance of the writing, is to move it from where it was all about her in the first season, really the first two, but then it started to shift back to where it's like, okay, now we have all these different kind of factions and different groups of really talented women that can stand alone and do their own stuff and have their own storylines, to where now it is a true ensemble cast and it's not just Piper and her story, which of course we needed for the first couple seasons to get into that world, and we had to focus on a central character to bring us there. But it's just like, man, but just the back and forth of their relationship drives me nuts at this point.
And
it's like, are they not? What are they doing?
I totally get that. But for once, she's like staying out of the drama that's going
finally.
On.
Finally.
Yes.
I mean, Alex is kind of making her stay out of the drama for right now, because she wants to stay under the radar.
Yeah, because and she even said, she's like, you have like, what, 4 months left of your sentence? Like, just, you know, lay low and just get through it.
Literally all they do in the episode is help the MCC lady. Someone please remind me of her name, because I can't think of it right now.
Linda?
Yeah, I was like, oh my God.
I have it pulled up, but she's not.
I know. No, I have it written down.
Yeah, but that's all they're doing. There's nothing like major with them, which I was pretty okay with.
Yeah.
Linda did give us a lot of great lines.
She did.
She was hilarious. She, like Piper said in this episode too, so I'm sorry I'm skipping ahead, but she is like, or was it the end of episode one? She's like, she reminds me of me, but more annoying. And I was like, Piper. I was like, don't go there, Piper. You've definitely given us a lot of annoying moments. Don't flatter yourself too much.
So back at the central part there of the I guess the epicenter of where the riot began, you know, Daya has the gun, and she first shoots at the ceiling as kind of like a warning shot. And then I was actually surprised that then she shot him.
I know. I was too.
I was like, oh, she actually did that.
I thought that was going to be it.
People in the chat are talking about that moment when she shot him, and they're saying it's because they don't think they would have shot him unless he tried to speak Spanish, or because he tried to speak Spanish. And she was like, it was like a slap in the face. Yeah. That's what Ashley D said.
Okay, well, that's a good point that Ashley says, because I was very taken aback. I was like, really? She actually went there?
I'm just so glad she didn't kill him.
Well, she definitely wasn't prepared for what was to come after that moment. Like, I don't think she thought through that she could be charged with murder, that she could get more time on her sentence. Right. She's obviously very flustered and scared.
And
not like Maria when she did that. I would have, like, handed the gun immediately to her. Yeah. Like, you can take
exactly.
You can leave this charge. I don't have anything to do with it.
Yeah, she was sort of in the moment there, but it was like, wow, she went there. And, you know, you see that the... that Gloria tries to rein it in a little bit. I think Gloria was kind of the voice of reason. I always kind of felt like it was sort of like her mom, you know, and I always felt that way from previous seasons. She was always like sort of like her mom in prison and really tried to take care of her, and was really just like, hey, everyone, let's just kind of rein this in. You know, let's think about this. Let's make sure we're doing the right thing, which I love about Gloria. She's always just the more logical, like, you know, take the emotion out. Right. You know.
And Gloria promised Aledo when she left that she would take care of Daya. So, I mean, she was just following through on that.
And I feel like she's always taken care of her even when Aledo was in prison. Right. Because she was more of the mom figure to her than she was.
And I loved seeing Gloria and Sophia's kind of the bond that they have from last season.
Yeah.
And how that they didn't even need to talk about it or whatever. But she was just like, you need to help me with this. And then they did. And And it got Sophia out of there, and it got her distracted with the working.
Yeah, no, I've always loved sort of that bond that they've had.
Yeah.
Going back, you know, just working together, and even though they had their conflicts and everything, you know, that the relationship they had with their sons and the visitations, and you know, they have a lot in common, and it is a really special bond, and I think it was great to kind of see that right off the bat again at the beginning of the new season here.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we see Gloria try to rein it in. We saw a little brief cameo of Hapakuka hiding under the bed, which that was a funny moment, and, like, pulling stuff out. And
when she initially threw the granola bar out, I was like, you might want to keep that.
You might want to keep that. That's what I was thinking.
She was like, there you go.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
You might
want to hold on to it. But I thought it was funny, and it was a great moment for her, and a great moment to kind of remind everyone, like, okay, she's still kind of involved in the season, you know, because things happen, and you was like, oh, people can be more on the back burner, and so it was great to have that, just that little light moment with her. And you know, the whole moment after when I was gonna say before I get to that with Boo
and Pensatucky.
That's where I would be.
Commissary.
That is the best place to be,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
You got all the food. In there.
You got all the all the supplies you need.
Right.
You can
hold that as leverage over other people if they need something.
Yeah, it was actually the most brilliant place to be, and you're kind of safe back there. You're locked back behind there. So
except for when Coates comes along, I'm still a little on edge about where he is.
Oh, I know. I know, and that's just a whole creepy thing, too.
Wait, didn't
we'll have to talk
him?
About that later. She gave him Twizzlers, and I thought he left.
Yeah. Oh,
okay.
But it was also, it was that moment, too, where she, you know, held onto his hand a little too long. I'm like, no, stop having feelings for him.
I know.
Right.
Unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's such
a weird
thing, though, because toward the end of last season, they made you kind of not feel bad for him whatsoever, but, like,
it
made it seem like, oh, okay, she does have, like, genuine feelings for him, but I can't forget about all the crap that happened before.
But I know what you're saying, like, not in the sense to make him feel bad, but in a way, made us feel like, oh, we understand maybe where that came from. Like, it was a weird way they kind of made you feel almost sympathetic to him, and that he wasn't doing it out of a nefarious or a bad place, although it was still wrong. But it was weird the way they did try to twist that around to make you feel like, oh, yeah, he did this, but not for the wrong reason.
To, like, reason with him,
he
or
raped
whatever.
For the right reasons, you know. I don't know. And then the fact that she still has these feelings towards him too, and then you just see that in that moment. You're like, ooh, no.
Well, I mean, prison isn't the place to get the best emotional support. So, I guess,
I'm honestly surprised Boo didn't say anything more. She didn't really address the whole Coates thing anyway. But I mean, she definitely had her usual one-liners that we all love, but yeah. she didn't.
Yeah, the
like,
have fun storming the castle.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I love that, and I love that again with those relationships and everything that the two of them have this really great relationship.
Right.
Still, even though they've gone through their own conflicts and everything through the previous times, and it's nice that they still have that bond too.
Right.
And
yeah.
That they still have that great connection.
They definitely made the smartest move though by going to commissary.
They sure did.
Smart girls.
Yeah, they sure did. And then you just see the whole scene, the running topless and the craziness
just
in
like
the hallways.
It was very interesting to see like some pairs of prisoners mm-hmm. had a very smart like let's go to the commissary, let's like stock up on the drugs.
Right.
Or like I felt like that was smart to do or whatever. Yeah. Like everyone had their own mission. Some people were just running crazy and
just doing the looting thing
and
that people do during
like,
emergency.
Piper and Alex were like, we need to hide and we need to like not be involved in this. So there were like the three different reactions to the riot.
Right. And I think that's sort of in general too when you think about like an emergency like after a hurricane or something and you see those different tactics and just the real world outside of prison, you just have the people that are going to loot or demonstration or a protest.
Right.
You see the people to loot or to run around crazy. And because you saw some of the women were breaking the doors and mm-hmm. just, destroying things. And then, like you said, then you see there's people that are going to be, how do I plan this to my favor? What do? I need to stock up on food and water. And the other one's like, I got to lay low and stay away from the danger. So it was interesting to see everyone kind of break off into their own groups and then to kind of see where everyone was trying to lie with the power struggles. Mm-hmm. The thing about this episode that just seemed so surprising, I guess it was hard to really get a real timeline of how much time have elapsed, but it still felt very odd to me that there was no other COs, no other guards around. Like it just
how
felt
did they
very,
not call in immediate enforcement?
That's what I'm saying. Like it felt odd to me that
it's Litchfield, they don't like do anything that they should do.
I mean, did anyone? I don't know if people in the chat felt this way, but it just felt like there was such a gap. And I know they kind of made I don't want to say excuse, but they made it seem like, well, the phone lines were down and this was down, but it still felt odd to me that there was no, these alarms are going off.
Right.
Well, they said that it was the CO that was the one that was shooting.
Yeah.
They didn't say that it was an inmate, but then obviously
you
discover
you think
it
is
after
going,
a little bit
but even
that
if
it was inmate.
If a CO is shooting, you still would think there's something
you
going
need to
on.
Get exactly. People in there need to get help. Yeah.
Why, where's the phone tree or whatever they have, to alert everyone, because then there's the off guards like Piscata. Tell another like there wouldn't there be some kind of alert system that would go out to say there's an emergency at the prison, even if it was a false alarm? So that was the
You'd
one thing
think.
That kind of threw me off a little bit on the first episode, and I'm not sure if it was maybe the time lapse was real time and it really wasn't that much time had gone by, but it just felt odd to me that there was no other.
Because isn't Max just down the street?
Right.
It definitely felt odd to me, mainly because I'm not exactly sure of the exact outline or how the prison is set up, because Tasty and those girls went to Caputo's office which felt like it wasn't exactly attached to where everyone else was, because it was super spread out. And by that point, who was it that was locking up all the doors? Flores.
Flores.
So I feel like there was definitely ways out and definitely ways in, and there weren't enough people
nobody was escaping.
The numbers seemed weird. Yeah.
That's
would have escaped, right?
That's my first thing.
You won.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's why I found some of that odd, that I just didn't feel like the timeline matched up, and where was the – why was there such a delay for the help to get the prison back under control in that time period, and why people weren't. And I really didn't understand why Flores was locking up everything. Was that so that they could take control? Their reasoning?
She was saying so it's that they can't get in and they can't get out.
Right.
And I'm not really sure.
And I got the fact that they weren't going to let the guards get in, but it just seemed odd. It's like...
I think they want to make real change. So they want to be like, okay, we'll unlock the doors if you do this, and this.
Yeah.
I don't think they think it's realistic for them to all go free.
Right, because they know they're going to get caught and they'll have longer sentences.
Right.
So that part I got a little bit, but it was still... That was the only thing that kind of threw me for that particular episode, was just that delay and sort of the way they were thinking at that moment.
Yeah.
Right.
And that whole let's go crazy, you know.
I think Red had the best idea of them all. Or she had like the most typical Red response. She's like, let me break into Piscatella's office and get some dirt on him. Or like, get the stuff that he took from
hilarious.
Me. Because she's smart. She knows she's not going to get out. She knows all these other people are going crazy and she's not going to be involved. But I mean, those pictures that she found of him.
Oh my God. And then that whole little one line comment, you know, kind of went back and forth with the polls and then the Russian comment. And you know, she's like, you know, I don't like the polls. And she's like, me neither, but they have good maxims.
Yeah.
Like, it was just like these lines and, you know, and then the whole Russian thing later. But I love that. It's like, yeah, take all these things and blackmail them and then print out these pictures and hang them up on the wall.
Like they're going to embarrass him when he's not even there, first of all.
But I know. It's just like, so it just I felt like an odd thing to spend her time doing.
Right.
Of all the things she could have been doing, but it also felt very Red.
It's
like
very
you were saying,
Red.
April.
She loves
very,
like,
very
revenge.
Red.
She wants. Yeah. That's just, I don't know.
Yeah, it was a very Red thing to do, but it was just very funny. It was like, okay, this is how you're going to spend your time.
Everyone else is like making calls,
making like
squad calls.
Yeah.
And she's like, ooh, let me find these pictures.
Yeah.
April, you said something earlier that I wanted to mention before I forgot because I just did a second ago. I was like, wait, I got to say this.
Yeah.
When you were talking about how everyone thought that the cop was going on the shooting spree, but then throughout the whole episode they kept making references to the mass shootings that have actually happened, and it was just so crazy to me because every time they said it, like they said Sandy Hook and they said Charleston and they said San Bernardino and all these things, and I was just like, oh my God, there have really been that many.
So many.
It's just like just such a disturbing and like kind of a moment where I was just like, wow, like I know that this is like a show and we're you know trying to, it's just like crazy,
like escapism,
that has become real life and like just something that just happens so often that they're like can make references offhand about it,
right.
and every single one was different.
And I've always thought that the good thing about the show, even though it's entertainment and everything, but it really has brought to light a lot of the issues that you have in a prison that most people don't think about or most people choose to ignore because it doesn't affect them. You know, just the way the prisoners are treated, which they have these topics that come up, and the recidivism rates, and a lot of the things that happen, and the way the women's prisons are handled, and you know, you and the sexism and the with the guards and the way they treat the women, and you know, so it brings up a lot of issues that otherwise would not get noticed, and you know, the prison industrial complex and how it's a big business, and you saw that with MCC and the takeover, and here's this business now trying to operate with budgets and how can we save money and things like that. So it's a great entertainment show and brilliant acting and fantastic writing, but it also does bring light, like you're saying, like a lot of these real world topics that otherwise kind of get swept under the rug and the people don't really deal with. And I also kind of, it was interesting kind of bring the light those shootings that brought it sort of made the show a little bit more real too.
Right.
Because a lot of times they sort of act on their own plane and their own reality that's separate from the real world because they're not talking about current events or things like that because they're in that prison. So it was interesting that I felt that they had that because I don't recall them really doing that in the past, have they, too much? Like to where
not
you're,
anything specific.
To bringing the real world into this world.
When you think about, like, so them making references to all the mass shootings and all of these things that are happening, and they probably, like, interact with people who have maybe committed crimes similar, it's really hard to say, especially in a show that's made up, but but then you, like, on the other side of that, in a more trivial way, you have the people, like, when Tasty and Cindy and them were trying to, like, figure out how to upload a video, they were like, what do we do, put it on MySpace? They were like, oh, I heard Snapchat's all the rage, like, having no idea what it is, you know what I mean? So it's like they know about they were more informed on, like, the mass shootings, which one should be, for sure. But then they don't know about, obviously, like, the more trivial things that are happening outside.
And it's true. I mean, on one hand, too, they still have their TV and the room. And so they can watch news and things like that. So they get an idea of that. But they're not online. They're not, you know, on social media. They're not doing those day-to-day things that we're used to doing. And so it is easy to get behind. And I was thinking about that when they had that scene because I was like, wow. Even now, when you think about, and I always say the kids because it makes me sound like I'm 100 years old, but when you think about, but when I think about, you know, teenagers and people that are younger, I know there's the next generation, the thing behind Snapchat, but you start thinking, like, yes, there are these things. And if I was just living under a rock or went to an isolated island for a year or something, you come back, you're like, oh, what did I miss? I mean, you might hear the news or whatever, but, like, as far as keeping up with social media, if you didn't have a phone and you weren't on social media, but you were maybe still got the newspaper or whatever.
Right.
Like, you could still kind of know what's going on in the world, but you're not involved with that. It would be easy for things like that to fly right by you because of the fast-changing technology. So I thought that was another good thing that they brought up, which is very true.
Yeah.
And along those same lines, the chat right now, everyone's talking about the timeline of the show.
Yeah. So I'd love to know what their thoughts are on that.
Yeah. So some people are saying that it's set in 2013. Some are saying it's present day.
Oh,
so,
that's like, interesting. A couple years earlier.
So basically saying that, like, people are confused about the timeline of the show is what it seems like, because they don't know if it's current day, because if it's current day, then they shouldn't know about all these mass shootings.
Right, right,
and
right.
all of, like, the Snapchats point. And the whatever. But
I felt like it was current day, but I was wondering, like, the actual, you know, what is the timeline, too, for the episode? You know, when you think about episode one, too, like, how much time had elapsed during that period? Are we in real time? Is there a break? You know, you assume it's, like, real time, but it also felt like, is it
a whole day passed?
Yeah, had it been a couple of hours? Like, where are we at with that? Because that was the only thing I felt like that the duration of having no authority around felt very long.
Right.
It seems like it's just a few hours at this point.
Right.
Because it's still daylight outside.
Right, yeah. So I figured that too, but it still felt long.
Yeah.
Even when you think about how quick...
Because they were showing the individual parts. It's like those things were all happening at the same time, but they showed us the individual things, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like maybe it was.
I feel like in general the timeline, whether it's what year we're in or like how much time has passed in a particular episode, it's a little unclear because you don't really know like how long people's sentences are. And then I mean we've gone through pregnancies in the show. We've gone through like whatever. Mm-hmm. People are saying Piper only has a couple months left.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Judy's already done her sentence. You know what I mean? So it's hard. It's hard to say like what. Year weren't
right. Well, especially when how much time has passed, because when you're watching a show that is set up in a binge fashion, it's like, well, how much time is going
right.
on?
You know. So Lindsay Pierre Lewis says Piper is serving a 15 month sentence,
and she has 3 months left.
A few months left.
Yeah.
I mean, Daya's already
had a baby. Didn't Piper's sentence get extended? No, did I just make that up? No, I'm thinking of...
Piper's did originally, like, a couple seasons ago, yes.
Yeah.
It got extended. So it feels like, she's pretty close. But they said 4 months, so it'll be interesting to see how much...
Yeah. Well, I feel like when I watch it, though, I just kind of let that stuff slide. I don't really try to dwell too much on what the exact timing
is. No, I don't think about that in detail. But in this particular first episode, in that minute by minute, I was trying to wonder, because it felt long to not have...
Anyone come and check on them, or figure it out.
The alarm's going off and police aren't coming in from the town or something. But April, you brought up a good point about the fact that all these individual situations were happening at the same time, but we had to see it separately, obviously. And so that kind of shrinks the timeline a little bit for the actual episode.
This just one of the, I don't want to say my favorite, but like super gross parts. Not
so
when
your
he
favorite,
got shot.
Probably.
Yeah.
Math. P. Hannon says, "Oh, in the period blood scene, that was her trying to get into loose check. I wanted to die.
Okay, quick thinking, but disgusting.
Gross.
I mean, they're resourceful, but I was.
But,
they just went there. Also, holy crap!
I was just going to
go
there.
Full on,
yes,
peen.
Bloody penis.
Like
that I was actually that was, but I was just going to that because I was like, so
sorry.
Going back. No,
oh
but basically saying what we were going to, or we were talking about how Gloria was helping out and brought humps to Sophia because you know she's a former firefighter, so she's got some medical training, and they bring it and then they show the full on like bloody penis. I was like, oh.
I rewound it because I was like, no, they did not. Netflix just went full frontal.
Full frontal.
Yeah,
yeah.
They went there.
Yeah.
All right, Netflix.
I know.
They that went there whole in episode scene of her one. Stitching it up. It was just, it was a little too much for
me. Yeah, it was too.
Right
it was,
oh,
it was
literally chilling up my spine.
Yeah,
just now.
I was like, oof, but the, you know, that.
Everyone was like, that was so nasty. That's so funny. We're right there with you.
Yeah.
Guys.
But I was
the penis or the period blood.
Yeah,
we need
either
clarification.
One. Either
yes.
one.
either one for the first episode. But I was like, hey, you went there. I was impressed though.
Right.
Yay, Netflix, you get some points for that.
Mm-hmm.
Will we see any more penis shots throughout the season that are less bloody?
Probably.
I support that. Less bloody ones. but yeah, and I love, you know, again, like we were talking about with Tasty confronting Caputo and what is the boss's name? It's Josh. Yeah, I think Jake is his name in real life.
The PR guy.
Yeah,
Josh.
The the corporate guy.
Yeah.
Not really his boss, but like the corporate guy that's come in, so always feel like they have to be on their best behavior. Mm-hmm. He cracked me up too in this episode.
His part was one of my favorites. Yeah. Whenever he started, Caputo's like, "Why are you helping them?" And he's like, "This works for MCC right. either way. Right. I don't care. So right. let me get him some care. Views."
Yeah.
Because that's what it's all about at this mm-hmm. point.
And then he's in there with, well, I'm like skipping all around, well, no, but he's no. like, he just gets put in with all the guards and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how he survives over this riot.
Yeah. That doesn't seem like Pretty Boy would do too well in a situation like that.
I know, seriously. I do like, though, that Tasty's group, because she's the leader of it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I like that they, like, had this mission. You know what? We're going to clear P's name, mm-hmm. like, let everyone know that she was murdered by mm-hmm. Bailey and that it was wrong and you tried to cover up. So I really appreciated that they were their mission wasn't selfish, but it was kind of what the whole point of this riot was about. Right. Like, they were actually originally trying to make
a point and make a difference.
And but then Maria difference. Just went
yeah. right. And I love Tasty so much, and again, you see it in this episode and again in episode 2 of just how passionate and how smart she is. Mm-hmm. And wanting to do the right thing, like, she's just so, it's like she's so smart and so, like, caring and passionate. And it kind of broke my heart a little bit too when, and I can't remember if that was episode 2 or not, if I'm jumping around, you know, when they're trying to get, and I think it was episode 2 when they're trying to make it viral, right? And it doesn't really work.
And the latte.
And they're talking about, oh, black lattes matter. And then you see that, and it's true with social
but
media.
But we see it that all back, the time.
Where it gets the silly things, and people are now debating the stupidest things, and then she brings it right back. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's not the point. And, right. you know, she's just so distraught. And it did break my heart a little bit, because that was, like, her best friend.
Yeah.
And here she is, like we're talking about, really trying to make a difference. And really trying to do something, and it's taken as a joke.
Right. But they're doing it the right way. They're going about it, like, with no violence, minus the, you know, shot to Caputo. Because that's where, just like we started off talking about, how is it going to end? Mm-hmm. It's clearly not going to end in a good way for Maria and the people that are doing all the stuff that they're doing.
Right.
Because you can already tell people are getting so uncomfortable with it. Just like when Alex walks out. I know that's episode 2, but... she's doing it the right way just because she does have that one goal in mind. I feel like she didn't even know, or she didn't know all the other stuff that was happening until later.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that they actually got the video out there, even though she had to say it herself.
Right.
Sometimes a viral video takes a second
to go. Yeah. Exactly. It has to get to the right.
You can't get Instagram famous immediately. Right. Overnight,
no,
guys.
Exactly. It has to go to the right person that's the right account that's going to then send it on. I mean, it's amazing. Like, I mean, I'm not trying to make it all about me, but there was a funny thing that was a GOP thing that I had sent out, and somebody had picked it up, and then it got retweeted by a bunch of people, and then all these people were talking. So, you know, all it takes is that one
something
account to send mm-hmm. something on.
Yeah.
And so it's not lost hope yet for Tasty. But again, they're not social media experts.
Right, and at least whatever does happen next, they'll have that out there, and they'll have
the
truth somewhere out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Regardless of what happens,
and
next.
That lives forever.
For that reason, I think
it definitely lives forever. There are some great lines too. I had to mention, you know, there's the carpet thing.
Oh
that,
yeah,
that some Boo says, you know, and Pensatucky's like, it's soft, you don't get splinters. And
Boo's like, she has no idea.
And then and Boo's like, yeah, and you can munch it. And I was like, oh my god,
this is too much.
She went there.
My favorite line that was like, it was super quick, but actually just I had to rewind it because I got distracted with something and I rewound it anyway. But Morello quickly says, it's like a party, but terrifying.
It's like a party, but terrifying.
And I was like, that is too. Like the best way to describe
it
what's
is.
Happening.
Like,
for them.
Here's a riot, and everyone's going crazy. Yeah. And they're having, you know, some of them are kind of having more fun, I think, than others. But yeah, she's exactly right. It's a party, but terrifying.
But she says it so fast. Like,
yeah,
you could
know. I know. I had to watch it too. I always have to put the closed captioning on just so in case I miss anything.
Doing that. But also, so many people are talking at the same time. So it's important.
I always have to rewind in that one, and I caught, but there was a lot of them I had to, like, rewind and try to get it again because these one-liners are so fast.
But they're so good.
You like
that's
turn
what makes
your head
this whole
and
show.
You miss it. It's just the writing is great and the way they encapsulate each character's unique. Because sometimes you get writing and you'll hear two different characters basically say the same thing. And you're like, okay, well, they're two different characters. They wouldn't actually say it the same exact way.
Yeah.
That always drives me nuts. But this show, they're so good with that because they really get the characters' voices down and their unique backgrounds and And I love that. But yes, I love that line. I loved, you know, sort of the interaction with Judy King and So-So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which was really interesting because, you know, she's in a very bad place. Mm-hmm. And then you still see Judy King just being like that celebrity type person, which is all
she's
about
supposed
her.
To be out, right?
And she's, yeah, she's
her
supposed
hubby
to,
and her lover,
and her lover are going to pick her up, yeah. And it was just, you know, it was funny, but it's like all of her stuff too. Like, she's got great lines too that I just I love. But there any of the lines that you guys liked in particular?
The party one was that's like the one I wrote down. The
mine is a weird one. It's not necessarily a line, but it's when, first of all, how like great karmic retribution is it that Humps ends up in the hospital between Suzanne and
Marine.
Marine.
I thought that was amazing. But when he was only because
right in the middle too, right in the middle.
I know. Whenever he's telling the story, which was so messed up because he was talking about all the ways to kill people.
Yeah.
And he talks about like how they used to put the thing on a chest and
yeah,
they and would heat the rats basically
yeah.
Just because they did that on Game of Thrones. So I was like, oh cool,
like a little
y'all are like dumb, but I thought it was cool.
The thousand cuts and all that was left was like the beating heart, and you're still alive with just the beating heart.
We knew this way before, but he's just so messed up.
It just goes to like it just continued to prove how like deranged he is.
Creepy.
People in the beginning of the chat were talking about like, do you feel bad for Humps or not? I like kind of started to for a hot second, but like in the very beginning of the episode, because you forget like what all he did.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he
I know you did. There, see, I'm that's like, no. The thing when you have that break, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot all the horrible things
he's
he
like
did.
Evil, of
he
course.
Is, because for that hot second I did too. I was like, oh my god, he just got shot and he's bleeding out and he could die. And
I felt bad for him
horrible.
When he was started, which is what he was trying to do when he started to tell the story about like, oh, I took toads to school. Okay, who cares?
Right.
But then I started thinking about, oh no, you forced wasn't it? Oh, it was. Oh gosh,
Maritza?
What's her face to eat?
Maritza
the,
to eat the
mouse. The
mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh my god. I can't even think
I
about
know,
it.
Was so
like
gross.
It was like the
a little baby.
I mean, he did like the worst of the worst. Yeah. He did the stuff to Maureen and Suzanne. I mean, that's why I think it literally is like karmic retribution that he ended up where he did, and obviously gave her the opportunity to blow some air bubbles in his little abbey.
Speaking of Maritza or Floritza, Flocka and Maritza, I loved when they did bring him into the thing and they like lifted up his eyebrow at the tape, and she was like,
"Oh my god,
she's a plastic surgeon."
She was like, "It's not someone good, but it's Meg Ryan good."
Yeah, it's Meg Ryan
good. I can't remember
what
the first one was. Yes, that was really funny. That might have been that was episode two, actually.
Yeah,
that was funny.
Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place.
But I loved, and I also loved when the other line I really liked too is when. You know, they're going after Linda's shoes and the dress.
Yeah.
And her her blazer and they're like, hey, like give us the blazer, and I love
she's like, it goes with the outfit.
I know, and I love that Piper's like, no, you know, it's boxy, you know, give it up.
That's right. Yeah, it doesn't show off your waist or whatever.
It's boxy, give it up. And I just love that. And
I love
the shoes.
I loved what the other girl though was like, she was like when she wanted the heel, she's like not to wear though, because they like are against women or whatever her quote was. I didn't write it down, but that was funny.
There was some good ones, because that whole scene with her outfit and stuff cracked me up.
Yeah, and of course that's like all she cared about at the
moment. Right, exactly.
But my shoes.
She is like Piper.
Yeah.
But less annoying to me.
But, you know, she's like Piper because she's all in that moment. She was just there for a meeting, so she hasn't been in prison. So for her, it was all about the outfit, and she's like, oh, those are my shoes. And,
right.
Like, you know. So I got where she was coming from, because she was like the Piper was when she first, sort of that upscale, and sort of like Figaro was when Fig used to walk around with her.
Not Demi Moore.
You know. Oh, yes.
Oh, not Demi Moore.
Yes, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, that was
Thank you, chat.
And then later she was still like confused about, is this really what prison's like? It reminds me of Rush and like all this stuff.
Like, what did you do? But she only said that whenever they were like digging in each other's butts. I'm like, wow, what did y'all do at Rush?
I know, right? Exactly. Like, what Rush were you involved with? Because it's not like the usual one most people think about.
Not for females anyway.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Let's see. We have a couple more things to get to, because I want to definitely focus on episode two.
Yeah.
Are there any other things you want to mention about one, besides all that and the different factions and, you know, what was going on with everybody before we get to that final scene, which I loved at the end of episode one?
No, should we just talk
about... You know, and Nikki with the drugs and the, you know, the girls that are wanting the drugs and just making sure we covered everything and...
Yeah, I think we've got everything. I mean, we did So-So and Judy and Morello and Nikki, and we can obviously get into all of that.
All that a little bit more in episode two. Yeah. But, you know, that end... What did you think of that end scene? You know, we have Diet in there. They kick Red out of the office, and she goes to try to call her mom.
Right.
And
someone her steals. Mom,
yeah, and all you see is her get, you know, the gun stolen.
I'm so happy
and,
that I got stolen.
Really?
But then you wonder, because then who has the gun? Because all you see is the boot, which I thought was a great end for that episode. She's knocked out, you know, and then you just see the boots and the gun being picked up.
I know.
Well, it could either be, obviously, an inmate or a CO, because they kind of wear similar shoes, actually.
Right. But it was a big boot.
But it was a big boot. That's how I was trying to figure it out. And I don't know. Does the chat have any suggestions of who they thought it was that
stole the gun? And who maybe, do you guys think it was? Give me a second. Hold on.
So, initially, I was thinking it could have been Maria, because she kind of, like, followed behind her.
Yeah.
But now, is it okay that I've watched two episodes now and I kind of have a prediction?
Yeah.
Or is it just the episode one? So, I don't know where Coates is, because he's not in the commissary and he's not rounded up with everyone else. So, it could be him. And it could be... Initially, I thought maybe it's Maria and she's gone rogue against her own friends, because she was so power hungry.
Yeah.
But I feel like my number one right now is Coates, but we also don't know where, I don't know.
I was thinking Healy, just because I feel like
we didn't see him at all in the episode.
Well, no, he doesn't work for he got fired,
right?
Yeah, fired,
right, but we don't see him.
But he would be the one to, like, know, like, he listens to a CB, all that kind of, he's picked it up from his house before, so I feel like
that's an interesting theory.
A person that would know how to, like, sneak in, and that's his old office, I think, so, or maybe it's Caputo's old office, but either way, he would be the one to, like, steal it to actually finally do some good.
I don't know,
it was just Frida, and she has it, like, hidden somewhere.
But she was locked in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Or wherever they were, making those darts.
I was just trying to think of who wasn't accounted for.
Yeah.
That was, to me, the biggest challenge, was, like, who that was. And I honestly don't know. And I still don't know after watching episode two.
It was a big boot, though.
It was. But it was just that timing, too. It had to be just right, because it was someone that either knew she had the gun... Sort of like Clue. I feel like we're playing Clue. Like, who had the gun and used what weapon and what room? But it did. It felt like that. And so I was trying to figure out, I'm like, who would have known that she had the gun and took that perfect opportunity to know that her defenses were down because she was trying to make the phone call to her mom to be able to get that back? And that's where I'm still...
Well, Red had just left. Maybe she came back in and did it?
Yeah. I mean, I know Red wears those boots, so...
Yeah, and, you know, Red likes to have that
And it wouldn't
power.
Be, like, Healy to hit somebody on the head. He would have just been listen.
Well, and it was with that, what was it, like a trophy or whatever that was thrown, too. I had to go back and watch it again. But I was fascinated because I could not, and I tried to rack my brain, like, who would have done that and had that perfect opportunity or took advantage of that opportunity to do that? And I really honestly drew a blank. I don't know. So I'd love to know what you guys think or what anyone else in the chat thinks about that.
Predictions are Maria and or Coates.
That's a good job.
Well, I just don't think Maria, because I feel like she would have used it to her advantage at this point, because she's not very... she's smart, obviously, but she doesn't know how to hold back if she has something like over someone else.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't know.
I guess we'll...
Or what
if it
was Gloria? Because she was like, let me get the gun out of her control.
Yeah.
Like, she could have done it to be protecting. The fact that we haven't seen it in episode two, I mean, you guys know that we've seen episode two, so we're not going to, like, pretend.
No, and now we're going to roll into that, because we only have a few more minutes, and I definitely want to get into episode two, but that's going to be, and I'd love to know what the chat thinks, but they've probably already gone ahead.
They've all seen it.
They all said they guessed correct. All we know is that they guessed correct.
Y'all are a lot smarter than we are, probably.
That's the easy answer.
I'm going to go with Gloria.
So episode two, I'm going to say... indeterminate.
Okay.
That's an easy way out. But
next week you have to make a prediction.
I will, because I'm racking my brain over it. But episode two, fuck, marry, Frida. Great. We got back to the flashback. We got back to the flashback thing with the I love that that opening with her and the Nature Scouts and that whole like 60s or late 50s like, you know, setup, and it was great because I already thought about it working as a, you know, working in this business. Like, you see that, you're like, that was a lot of money to put that together and get all the theme stuff and the record player in the back and the furniture and the outfits. And I was like, that was a big undertaking just to do that scene. And it was so fun.
Yeah.
I loved her character and to really see her background. And it really made a lot of sense to see her beginnings.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love that she didn't even give in to the bullies, that she did not care like what they were saying. She was like, all I know is I'm going to survive whenever, like,
and you're going to be waiting to die in the corner.
Six-year-old.
The other thing that I took away from this episode, too, was like, wow, you know, it really is amazing how much parents can fuck up their kids. With whatever issues they have. Because sometimes you think, like, yes, there's a chance that people are going to be messed up because they have whatever. But when you see that parents can really influence and affect children's behavior well into adulthood.
Nature versus nurture.
You see that and you're like, wow, because that dad was a paranoid, you know,
conspiracy theorist
that was, you know, trying to do whatever he could for his, because that whole scene too when they were out camping and that later flashback was like, oh my god, like,
who's gonna leave their child,
their daughter out there, their young child out in the woods by themselves, and then times her when she comes back, and I was like, oh my god, that's so sick.
The whole time I thought maybe he was like in the background watching her, like to see if she would survive, and then like he would intervene. And
it was so creepy, and I thought, oh my god.
I honestly, before I realized what was going on and that he was testing her, and he was like, all right, I'm gonna leave you out here and figure on way back. When they were sitting around the campfire, I was like, this is making me feel really uncomfortable. Yeah. I like got weird feelings.
Well, and
she
was gonna be like morning when she got assaulted. Up.
Like, I didn't know if she was.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
it was weird.
I thought he was leaving
it was
her.
Very creepy.
And then
to
that
me.
Next morning when he had just left the stuff there, I was like, that's really creepy too. I was like, what does that even mean?
I actually thought he was leaving her like for good.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, he's like, okay, you're on your own.
Okay, we talked about this. Now you're really on your own.
It was it was very creepy. And then he's like, kiss your mommy and the picture frame that whole thing was bizarre. And then, you know, fast forwarding, since we don't have a lot of time, I'm talking about, you know, where you see her later towards the end of that episode, and she has her own, like,
her own bunker.
Bunker! I was like, what the fuck?
In the prison! All of that worked out, like, all of his survival.
I know! Yeah. I was blown away. I was like, what? WTF? And then she had all that stuff stored there, and it had this entire setup. But it also sort of finally explained to me, because she was always been so good about all the stuff with the gardening and all the other things she'd done in previous episodes. And I thought, wow, that's brilliant. Like, how long have they really kind of, you know, because you think about writers going through all the seasons and kind of mapping them out and be like, okay, well, let's start giving hints about this person or that person. But it was brilliant because with her in particular, because I'm like, wow, they've always had her sort of as that person that kind of lived off the land and knew how to do things. And then you really went into this episode, you're like, holy crap.
I thought for sure that dart that she shot at them was poisonous. I was like, Frida would for sure know some.
And I'm in the middle. I was in the middle of both of you there, because at first I was like, maybe she really did do something like that, because she was doing this whole thing on the side. I'm like, maybe she did. And then I'm like, no, there's no way.
She's just doing that. The second she said Wolfsbane, that's when I was like, no.
Yeah, then me too. And I was like, no. Now she's psychologically playing with them, which was brilliant.
Well, when it clicked for me.
Such a great scene.
That she was playing with them.
I was just like, she walked away.
Oh my God, she got me too.
I know.
Oh my God.
No, but like psychologically, it was brilliant.
You're like,
it was
dang, where did she get that wolfbane?
Right. Well, then I started thinking about it. I was like, maybe it grows in the garden that she's been
growing. I don't know what they have back there.
I know.
Yeah,
I was
maybe
like,
she's been stockpiling.
Like, I fell for it too, because like maybe she's been growing it for years in that garden and nobody knew about it. You know,
if there's one thing I learned, it's not to put anything past Frida. Like, she could absolutely have it on hand.
So I was like, I was right in the middle of both of you, because I was kind of on both of that. But I thought it was brilliant, and I loved that scene, and I loved the whole game they were playing.
Yeah.
You know, like everyone always does when they're in middle school. And, you know, you have the little, the hand paper thing, you know, people would do.
Gotta pass the time.
Brilliant. So I love that. And but you do. And I love the Judy King, that whole thing there too, because she had some great lines in this episode when she's talking to So-So. I'm like, hey, poke your head in there and see who's in charge right now. And she's like, because this, you know, talk about the guillotine, and this 1% is keeping her neck, especially after it was just contoured.
That was so good. But
she's like, even though it had more,
I don't know.
And it had more rolls than a Swiss roll or whatever that was. And she's like, Colicchio said it had more rolls than a Swiss roll or more lines than a Swiss roll. Oh, my God. That line. That whole line that she had. And she said his face looked like a manscaped scrotum. Like, that whole entire thing that she had was so great. And So-So called her out and said, no, you're scared. You know, like, you don't have them wrapped around your finger anymore. And So-So called her out, and she was absolutely right.
Right.
Yeah.
Judy King was scared. She's used to having the control and doing whatever she wants.
And being protected.
And being having that protection and having kind of being above the fray. And that's been lost. And being this pampered celebrity, it was new to her, and she was scared. And I love the fact that So-So called her out on that.
Right. Mm-hmm. I just want to know where Judy went.
I thought she went in that little office.
Yeah.
But she took the door off. And then when So-So came back, though, everyone was in the library.
Yeah.
I know, and everyone was there, and then you're wondering...
Was she in that back office?
She wasn't. I mean, I feel like she would have popped out whenever all of those girls started running out with the books or something. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she's just hiding somewhere.
I took it that she was hiding because she was scared. But,
yeah,
I mean, she was basically leaving anyways, so, you know.
But
it was sort of like, and I was wondering, again, if this is something that's going to be down the line, that we're going to be like, wait, where's Judy King? And is she okay?
Maybe.
You know, then we see the again, that whole CEOs in the kitchen thing was great, and I love that. And we already talked about the black lattes matter and how Tasty got so upset, which, again, I think that was great. And then finally, you know, you had that weird scene with Piscatella, which I didn't really understand what that was all about, where he was...
With Red?
No, where he was at the bar, and he saw... He saw the video, and he's like, I knew it. I knew it. And I was trying to figure out what he meant by that. Like,
maybe
like,
he knew that they were going to
riot and he wasn't there to, like, keep control.
The part I was confused about is when he did come back to Litchfield, and then there's something that happened when he put his hand up and the tattoo or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And because
Red got an idea or got something.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Maybe it's something that she saw, like, in his office in reference to that.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe. But because it wasn't any, like... swastika or something.
Right.
Like that.
I paused it and I didn't
understand that point. And I knew he wasn't going to be embarrassed by it because obviously those are his pictures and he felt very proud of them. And he even said that. And he's like, I have 20/20 vision and that's awesome.
And he's like, and I only see awesome. That line is so bad.
The one moment I like with Scatella is when he's proud of his cat sweaters and his photography.
Yeah. So I was like, I knew like Red was going up the wrong path with that because he doesn't care.
But then she felt satisfied whenever she had that moment of realization, whatever it was. Yeah. I just don't know what it
is. I loved her line on that one too, is when he's taping up the pictures and she doesn't care, and then she goes on and says, we don't have proverbs in Russia, just vodka and misery. Oh wait, that is a proverb. Like, you know, kind of going back with episode one with the Poles and their maxims. It was just her whole delivery and stuff was really, really funny.
Our friend Steven in the chat says, that tattoo will be explained. I promise it will make sense.
Really?
Can't wait to find
out. Bless.
But I love that it was just sort of that little...
It was quick.
And you really had to watch it, and I still didn't understand it, and I thought, huh. And I do think about that. I'm like, is it going to be revealed later? What's going to happen?
Yeah.
And I will get to it, I guess, at the very end here when we get to sort of more of the predictions and everything. But, you know, we had everyone go into the chapel, and sort of now they're trying to take charge. Maria's trying to really take charge, like Litchfield 2.0. And you know, now they're trying to embarrass the COs.
She reminded me of Tony Robbins.
A phone's for everyone. That was like an Oprah moment.
Oh, that was hilarious.
You get a phone.
Yeah.
That might have been the first episode.
Yeah. But again, no, that was that one. That was when they're out there. But again, I love the fact that Gloria tries to be the one with reason again. She's like, let's take a step back. Let's work together. Mm-hmm. Let's find a way to, you know, figure everything out before we just go off all crazy. Let's get like a cohesive
plan
together.
Right. We can't just be going around
and have everyone work together and not have all these different factions, which I thought, again, was brilliant.
And smart.
Yeah.
And the reasonable one. What else do we have? We had Humps and Suzanne back, you know, medical, which this was the thing too, which I wanted to ask you guys. When you saw that whole thing where Humps basically has that seizure or stroke or whatever the male nurse was talking about later, and Maureen was talking about how she distracted and put the bubbles.
The oxygen bubbles and the IV.
Yeah. So
I wasn't sure. I was like, did she actually
do that?
I think she actually did it.
And did she actually do that? And did that actually actually cause that stroke, or was that more of a coincidence?
It's like an air embolus. Right? When you blow, that's why they remember whenever they gave, or he asked Sophia to get the bag. He was like, make sure, you know, you get all that, you like work it out or whatever he said.
Yeah, because I know like when you give someone, when you give somebody a shot and it's got fluid in it, you have to make sure you shake out all the air bubbles. But I didn't know it was actually such an urgent
thing. Yeah, and if air goes to your brain through a vein, then it gives you a stroke.
And actually, like, wow, well, look at you, very smart.
Well, I watched a lot of Grey's Anatomy.
Thank you, Dr. April. But I didn't, I was trying to figure that out because I was like, is that really a true thing? Like, does, because you always hear about that, and that's what I'm always scared to give anyone, you know, a shot. Like, I you know, no diabetics, and if they go low, you give them their liquid, but you have to, and I'm like, oh, I'm scared about the bubble.
A lot of pressure.
But I didn't know that it actually did something like that. So that was fascinating, too. And I thought, actually, Michael Trombley, whatever the actor's name was, I thought he did that whole scene so well.
Yeah, he did.
Because that whole like, seizure type
creepily
thing.
Creepily well.
And talking and the drooping face.
The
it was
makeup
so
was like so
well
good after. Because obviously it was
done.
Makeup with the like folding of the
well,
skin
yes,
and stuff.
Yes, but like his part of like doing all that was so well done.
Yeah.
Again, thought that was brilliant. And then, you know, besides all that, which I think is going to be very interesting to see how that's going to pan out with the with him and Med, I also thought that I was like, is the male nurse and Sophia have something going
right
on there?
This
new, like, a moment?
I definitely got some
vibes. Did you get
that
too?
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Romance at Litchfield.
Yeah,
okay.
I was like, ooh, I like that because I'm like, ooh, he's cute. You get it, girl. And then you see the end there with the very embarrassing thing with the family photo shoot with the guards all basically stripped and kind of they're now losing their dignity a little bit.
Right.
Which,
cheese.
On one hand, yeah, you think, turnabout is, you think turnabout is fair play a little bit. You know, I do think like a lot of times you do lose your dignity in a hospital, so I can med, when you're like walking around in a gown and peeing in a bucket. But it's the same thing like that with prisoners too, because they're under strip searches and they kind of lose their dignity. And did you think that was sort of turnabout's fair play at that moment when they're sort of trying to take that power, or was that a step too far?
I think some parts of it to me seemed like a little too far,
right?
Because all the guards aren't guilty of every bad thing. Now, of course, they're a part of it because they were essentially forced to in a way. But yeah, some of it definitely was like a little too
like
much for
the
me.
The cavity search was too much, and that
why
was very
do that
uncomfortable.
To yourself?
That was just and she was like excited about doing it, which I guess is just like a whole other conversation.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get their want to have revenge on the whole thing, but I don't know. Some of it was kind of uncomfortable to watch,
I
want them to get revenge, and I want them to not have revenge, but like get some sort of satisfaction or get reform or whatever. But
yeah.
It's like you want to root for them. I kind of felt like Alex did. Like, I just don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I would have probably had that
too.
Same reaction.
All right. Well, I know we got to wrap it up. So any last moment thoughts? Anything we missed? Any predictions that you think it's going to happen?
It's going to go with it's Gloria. That's going to be my prediction for now.
That
hits her with the trophy.
That's the gun.
That the gun is with Gloria. Okay.
Yeah. I still think Gloria,
in the billiards room.
I think either Gloria, Maria, or Coates still with the gun. And I really just, I just don't have any predictions for how this riot's going to end.
I don't either. And the thing that scared me is, and I don't think so because I haven't heard any big buzz about it, but does anyone else get injured or get killed or anything? Because I feel like there's that threat there of that instability. So I don't know. I get nervous about anyone being injured or hurt going to episode 3, but...
There are rumors of Bennett coming back. So
ooh,
I know all of y'all
wondering
already
about
know,
that.
But
yes,
we'll
we've
see.
Been waiting for that. Well, until next time, where can they find you guys on the social media if they want to talk about future OIT and B?
Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant.
You guys can find me at Sterling Cates.
And you guys can find me at SMAN80, that's SMAN80. And here on the show, you do hashtag OITNBABTV. And until next time, we'll be reviewing episodes 3 and 4 next week.
Bye, guys.
Orange and New Black. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.